I have been to the doctor, but yeah, I still have to do some investigations, and we don't know yet exactly what's going on, other than some high blood pressure that they confirmed. Today, I'm not going to have a very elaborate introduction, but simply say today's sermon is just a continuation of last week, part B. We are going to spend a little bit more time in John chapter 10. Last Sunday, I read from verse 7 till 18. Today, I'm going to pick up from where we left. We already learned a few things about this good shepherd, Jesus Christ, who is ready to lay down his life for the sheep. And he did it on the cross for us. And we just celebrate together this amazing reality. And it's so good that every month, from now on, we can remind twice being part of the communion, remembering that Jesus laid down his life for us. And we just slowly, slowly enter into the second point that it's pretty simple. The good shepherd knows his sheep. He knows them by name. He calls them by name. But then I had to conclude, and there is so much more to unpack. We're going to spend a little bit more time on this point and then perhaps another one. But one thing I didn't do Sunday morning, but I have managed to cover in the evening, it's this striking comparison that God, in general, throughout the whole Bible, chose for his people. Why he used this sheep metaphor, and he describes himself as a shepherd. I mean, wouldn't you prefer to have a different animal as a metaphor? A lion, a tiger, a cheetah, but a sheep to describe God's people? Why? Is there any purpose in this? Definitely. And before we go into this, because this reality is going to help us to understand what he says about us and the relationship he wants to have with us, let's learn a few things about sheep. Sheep are dependent. They cannot survive on their own. It's simple. They have no claws, no teeth, sharp teeth, large jaws. They can get lost very easy. They don't know how to return to their place. They can wander just a few meters from the flock and still get completely lost. That's a reality about a sheep. And in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, the word of God says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. So it seems to be a good comparison. Then, sheep need constant guidance. They follow the shepherd's voice, not their own instinct. They need daily direction to pastures and water. If not led, they may eat poisonous plants or get stuck in dangerous places. So we are. Without the Word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit, we make self-destructive choices. And we don't need science to prove that. We just need to look in our own lives. The third thing, sheep are easy, frightened, and unsettled. They can easily panic at the slightest sound. Fear causes them to run in wrong directions. But in the presence of a shepherd, they easily calm down. And so we are. Just think a little bit back during the pandemic, how much fear. But since then, there is a lot of fear within communities, people. Now, many of you are aware that at the back room, Romanian people are voting for the Romanian president. And the last 6 months since they annulled the election were so chaotic, so I don't even have words to describe. But one word is present on any news: fear. People are afraid. And let's look at us as Christians, as God's people, members of this church. Have you experienced fear last week? I'm pretty sure. Like sheep, we are easily frightened. And in Psalm 23, verse 4, we read, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil," not because we are strong and sheep are whatever, but why? "For you are with me." Fear disappears in the presence of the shepherd. Another thing about sheep, they cannot clean themselves. I've had sheep in my own households back in Romania, in the garden, or not in the house. We had a little farm. They are very dirty animals. If you don't clean them, they cannot clean themselves. In contrast, when you look at the cat, and many of you in the congregation, you have cats and you are cat lovers, you take care of them, but they are artists and masters of taking care of themselves. Sheep cannot do that. And this is another reason why God chose this animal to represent us. Because we cannot clean ourselves from a spiritual point of view. Yes, hygiene in the body, we are masters, hopefully. But internally, we couldn't do it. So we needed someone else. We needed the great shepherd to come and die for us. And through his own blood, he cleansed us. But also, sheep need belonging. They only thrive in a flock, not alone. They feel secure when they are together under the care of a shepherd. And the same is true for us all. We were made for community, as I said at the communion table. We are made social beings to interact with one another. We need communities, as imperfect as they are. And I've just said earlier on that sheep are also dirty, but their dirtiness does not stop them to stay together. Now, we were cleansed by Christ, but in our human nature, we continue to battle with sin. We are sinners forgiven by him, but we are still sinners, even in church. Therefore, don't go away from church just because this is a reality. We still need community. We still need belonging. We are made for this. And we are going to observe it beautifully in verse 16 of this passage later on. Now, this is the metaphor. This is why, the reason why God chose this metaphor to represent us. And he is proud to call his son Good Shepherd, his own son, Jesus Christ. And then we come to these verses, verses 14 to 15 in John 10, that I would like to unpack a little bit more today. When Jesus says about himself, I am the good shepherd, I know my own and my own know me, and I discussed a little bit about that last Sunday. But then there is a continuation of this verse that I would like to explore more. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. Look at the entire sentence. He says, I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. This implies relationship, intimate relationship, that the Good Shepherd wants to have with us. He says, I know you that well as I know the Father. But here is the standard. I would like you to know me as well as I know the Father. Can you only imagine what sort of intimacy is there in the Holy Trinity between the Father and the Son? And he says, like that we shall become. That's why I came to lay down my life for my sheep, to die for you. Not just so you know a few things about me. Not just so you know some verses, sing some songs, come to church once a week, speak a little bit here and there about me, and then live your own life on your own as you like. But I strive for far more, and that's the abundant life. When you get to know me so deeply, so intimately, as I know my Father and my Father know me. And I already mentioned last Sunday that the Greek word here is ginosko, not gnosis. Gnosis in Greek, you know, is general knowledge. Ginosko is that intimate relationship. And it's used four times in this text. The same word ginosko is used when he says, I know my sheep, I know my own. And the same word when he says, I know my Father. And that's so important. We are so used with this sort of shallow Christianity. And we think we are all right. We encourage one another, let's say, you know, oh, lovely to see you in church. It's good we are still on a member roll and all kinds of things. But have you really enjoyed this sort of intimate relationship with God? By the way, the same word, ginosko, is used by Jesus and put in writing by Matthew, inspired by the Holy Spirit, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 22. When he describes, after he had already given that parable about the house built on a rock and on the sand, then in verse 22 he says, on that day, that final day of judgment, when he returns, many will come and say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then verse 23, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Ginosko, same word. You see, it is possible to do mighty works in his name. It is possible to prophesy in his name. Cast out demons in his name. When was the last time you saw that? But that's not enough. It may be impressive, amazing, are not enough. He says, yes, you have done it in my name. You used my name. You thought you have done it with me. I never knew you. Oh, of course I know who you are. That general knowledge, gnosis. But we never had that intimate relationship. I came to lay down my life in order to know you, to have that relationship with you. If you want to have that abundant life, there is no other way. That doesn't come through, you know, prosperity, material things, positions, career, acknowledgments. It comes through Jesus, from Jesus, being rooted in Jesus. And when Sylvia just shared that simple reality of life, you know, just watching birds, observing things, that's what I've learned lately as well. Just, you've learned a lot from my walking in the park, or in my own garden. By the way, some of those pictures, I'm just in the garden, you know, not really. But I go once in the park, I take a bunch of pictures, and then I receive the inspiration. But I discovered there is so much joy in observing these little things in creation. Joy that I didn't know how to appreciate, not even imagine I can have when I was in my 30s, running after other things. There is a point in life when you realize nothing can fulfill you but Jesus. And when you have Jesus and you have that, you look at the bird, on a star, on a flower, on a branch, on a plot of whatever, land with some, whatever you see there, it brings you joy. But the joy is because you have Jesus and you see with Jesus' eyes everything else. With his eyes you see the creation, with his eyes you see other people. You don't see it through your own bitter, unhappy, disappointed sort of life. You have his glasses. And he had come to have that relationship with all of his sheep. Not just with some. You know, in every flock there are some who are more obedient. And in every flock there are some who are naughty. Goats are even more, but you know, even sheep. And same with us. He loves us all. And you know, and I've used this Sunday night, I love that passage in Scripture, and I just can't avoid it today. In Philippians chapter 3, when Paul himself describes his own desire of knowing Jesus more. In Philippians chapter 4, after he had been accused by other folks in the church, by those who represented Judaism, and they accuse him that he's a false prophet and a false apostle, and he has our own interest. Oh, that gives me joy as a pastor. I say, well, you know, if Paul was accused, then who am I not to be? But then he says, look, if I compare myself with you, I'm way above. I can prove myself easily with all my reputation, with all the relationships, with religiosity, with everything. In the first part of the chapter, Paul speaks about those who accuse him. He calls them dogs, not sheep. Dogs. Then he says, look, I can be somebody. I was somebody until I discovered Christ. And then I discover that everything I strive for in the past, everything I desire in the past, position, religiosity, realizations, all this is garbage, rubbish, scubula, poo, excrements. That's what he says in the text. And I have one strive, one desire, one, to get to know Christ better and to be found in him. And I've shared this in the past with you. I'm always amazed, how comes Paul, the one who writes Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Colossians, Ephesians, all this wonderful book, Thessalonians, you know, theology inspired by God directly, plants churches, all kinds of ministries. More than that, he encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus like none of you have ever done. He's been taken into the third heaven. He saw things he cannot describe. What else can you have? What else can you desire? You have it all. And he says, no, all this is nothing. Because once you get to know Christ to that level, you experience his goodness, his majesty, that abundant life. You realize that's just a little. You want more. It's the only addiction, if you like, that God approves. To want more of him. Because that's what addiction is. You become dependent on something. You want more, 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 more. That's all right to be addicted to God, to Christ, to get to know him more and more and more. Until a point when Paul says, even the fellowship of his suffering. I want so more of him that, look, I look forward to suffer for him and with him. Amen. I asked the Romanian congregation last Sunday, I said, if you hear that tomorrow Christians are going to be persecuted in Birmingham, how many of you will go and book flights to fly home? What would you do if, you know, suddenly persecution against us will erupt in Birmingham? Will I fly to Romania or somewhere else? Or say, yes! I was looking for this my entire life. Would you say that? That's what Paul said. He was happy to die for Christ. Because he realized there is far more. Jesus knows us better. He knows our wounds, our struggles, our temptations, our desire, our dreams, everything. But how deep, how wide do you know him? And you don't have to do anything else but desire him. And I think among the last words I said before I said amen last night, look, open up this book, the Bible. Don't be glad with a sermon on Sunday or some of those good ones on internet. Don't. Be careful, because out there are wolves as well. There are thieves, as the text says. That's an easy way that they can come into your mind and heart to deceive. But if you know the shepherd, you recognize his voice and you recognize their voice. In order to know the shepherd, to have that discernment, spend more and more and more and more time in the Bible, in the Word, cultivating your intimate relationship with him. But I said at least the third point. As we go on, we read verse 16, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. You see, he is a good shepherd because he lays down his life for us. He is a good shepherd because he knows us and he desires to know us better. But he is a good shepherd because he has a global mission and a moving flock. He is not restricting his love and his mission to Israel. This is what he says here. I came for more. I came to offer you more, but I came for more. Not just for Israel, not just for those that, yes, were chosen by God for a specific purpose, but they failed to see that there is something greater beyond themselves, as we sometimes fail to see beyond ourselves, beyond our own needs. There is a mission that is bigger than our fences. This is what Jesus says here. When he says, I have other sheep, he refers to the house outside, to those outside the Jewish community, to the Gentiles. Yes, Gentiles. You know how Gentiles were seen and perceived by Jewish people. And I'm a Gentile, you are a Gentile. I'm not sure. Is any Jew around here? Or maybe some of us we are and we don't know. We haven't taken our DNA test. But we are Gentiles. They were seen as dogs. Just so you know, they had so many wrong perceptions about Gentiles that they had some sayings, and one of those sayings in Israel, especially in the time of Jesus, sounded like, Gentiles are there to be fuel for hell. Can you just imagine? In their eyes, you and me existed on this earth to fuel hell later on. So can you imagine the shock they had when they heard what Jesus just said? That he came not just only for them, but for others. But we've just seen that sheep had, as an animal, has an issue. They don't see properly. They cannot take care of themselves. That's why even them, they couldn't see this reality. They needed a shepherd to lead them, to teach them, to explain that he has a greater purpose. When he uses the word must, I must bring them also, this word in itself implies urgency, intention, mission. This is not a hobby. It's a calling. It's not an option. It's a mandate. Grace is not tribal. It's global. Jesus has a heart for all people. But we, once we were saved, we so easily settle. Oh, we are in a flock, we have a shepherd, we are protected. No, he wants us to go outside. And yesterday, I was with Andy the entire day attending the Baptist assembly. It was so divinely appointed, I would say, as the general theme of the entire gathering was the lost sheep. From Luke 15, the lost sheep. And I actually looked at Andy and said, look, this is in my notes. I was about to say something about that. It was such a great reminder that he has a mission. And in that parable, Luke 15, Jesus tells the story of a shepherd who leaves 99 sheep to search for the one that wandered away. He doesn't say, well, I've still got 99. I'm still all right. He doesn't scold. He doesn't wait for it to return. He goes. He searches. He carries the sheep back on his shoulder, rejoicing. That's the heart of mission. And the mission began not with us, but with God. Yesterday we were reminded of the Missio Dei. That God, who loves the world, he is the one who initiated this mission in the world. And that reminded me of a saying that I may not put it very well in English, but I've learned it many years ago. It is not God's church who has a mission in the world, but it's the God of mission who has a church in the world to carry on his mission. The way we perceive this changes reality, because if you think, oh, it's... But it's God's, as a missionary, who has a church now to carry out his mission in the world. That means, and we will, I look towards that flip chart, because Saturday we have this celebration of culture and Thanksgiving, and I invite you to go and put your name. There are just a few. Hopefully there will be more. It's going to be a great day, but I'm preaching for 10 minutes, I promise, about the beauty of diversity. Because, you see, in this flock of God, he's not calling us to uniformity. Each one of us to be the same. Would have been so easy, and I'm pretty sure God would have invented a special photocopier, you know, to photocopy each one, and all Christians be the same. But no, it's not his intention. He calls us to unity and diversity. That brings in itself some challenges. I know, I'm aware. But if we learn how to celebrate this diversity, these differences, be one flock, diverse as we are, under one voice, under one leadership. And then he's calling us from division to discipleship. We tend to compare each other, judge between denomination, isolate in tribes. But the real question is, are we all following the same shepherd? Unity starts now, and it's going to be fulfilled in glory. I know we are a work in progress, even in this area. But we are called to maintain the unity that the Holy Spirit of God is doing. He is the one who is building bridges. We tend to build walls. So, as I need to conclude again, a little bit sharp, we are called to live as citizens of heaven, or as citizens of one flock. Embrace diversity in Christ. Pray for churches in other places. Seek peace and build unity. We've seen Jesus as the great shepherd, not as a higher hand who runs, but not as a leader who hides, not as a figure on a stained glass window, but as one who said, I am the good shepherd, a good shepherd who lays down his life for us, who knows us deeply, and he invites us in knowing him deeply. And one who has a mission that is global, beyond the walls, beyond the borders, beyond one country. It's global. And we are part of it, and we are invited to participate in this. His voice is still calls. His presence still comforts. His cross still covers our sins, our needs, and his resurrection guarantees that you and I are not alone. He is in the middle of his flock. Amen.
Daniel. We will conclude with one final song that talks about how God never leaves us on our own. No matter what we're facing in our lives, we're not on our own. Let's stand together. When all foundations have been shaken. Never going to change. Let's share the grace with one another.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God
and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all
evermore.
Amen. Please stay. There are refreshments in the back room, but not in the youth hall. We're not allowed in there. So just go through this way.